You know what? It's been a long week, and we talked about the reasons why Black people tip less this week, what it was like for millions of families who moved south from the Rust Belt, how the WNBA can maybe reinvent itself. Now it's time to sit back, relax, and celebrate Friday. Let's head into the break room.
When it comes to divorce, humans may fight like cats and dogs, but more and more, they're fighting about cats and dogs.
I noticed you also circled a bunch of things on our ticket. Why did you do that?
Because otherwise, the line moves too quickly. You see, the whole thing we're going for here at the TSA is a sort of bored fascism.
Jack, I want you to pay close attention to the following over-the-top eye roll. Oh, brother.
Joining us in the break room, Bea Nguyen, Executive Director of Athena's Warehouse, which is a nonprofit in Atlanta. Good morning, Bea.
Good morning, Celeste.
Greg Williams, host of the radio show Greg's List. Hi, Greg.
Good to see you again.
Roxanne Donovan is Associate Professor of Psychology and Interdisciplinary Studies at Kennesaw State University. Good to see you, Roxanne.
Morning.
And Chuck Reese, editor of The Bitter Southerner. In the last day of the membership campaign, yes?
We are announcing this morning we're extending it until Sunday.
Always a good cause to support great writing and reporting in the South at the Bitter Southern.
Thank you.
In any case, let's talk about some things about which we may not agree, shall we? We just heard about the guidelines that the U.S. Department of Education has sent to public schools on how they need to handle bathroom facilities and any shared facilities in schools. That letter actually threatens to pull federal funds if schools do not accommodate transgender students. So hundreds of people in Fannin County in North Georgia marched to the school board there to protest. And House Speaker David Ralston says the federal government is overreaching its authority. What do we think about this? Federal overreach?
As usual, federal overreach. But I got an easy solution for it. Let's have a men's room, women's room, and a Miss Doubtfire room. I think that cures everything.
I don't like that response, primarily because I think we need to do some education on transgender, and as we're evolving as a society and kids and people are becoming more comfortable about gender identity, there's discomfort that comes up as well. And so when I hear something like a Mrs. Doubtfire room, it just does not sit well with me. And I know we're supposed to be talking about federal overreach, but a lot of what we should also be talking about is education and exposure in places where people can feel safe and not threatened. And I think primarily a lot of it is about the fear, and we need to address the fear along with other things.
Right.
I grew up in North Georgia, just south of Fannin County. Went to high school with Speaker Ralston's little brother.
Did you?
I did. I know Speaker Ralston since I was knee-high,
yeah,
you know.
In knickers.
And I think he's completely wrong about this. I mean, we have to evolve our view of the way we look at gender in this society. You know, for you to say something like a Mrs. Doubtfire room and sort of make a joke of people's gender, to a lot of people, is just as insulting as if you had wanted, you know, if you were endorsing white and colored signs over the restaurant.
Come on now.
No. I mean, there's no come on now on that. I just don't.
This is an example
that
of this,
people
this overly political correct world that we live in now. I mean, you
it's
know,
it's not about political correctness.
Before
we get into an argument, it's nice to hear disagreement. Roxanne, can we make you the peacemaker? Or?
Look, if it's overreach, I'm thankful for it, right? Because the federal government has had to step in multiple times in the name of justice. Think marriage equality, think civil rights, think gender equality. And this is one of those times where it's just and needed. And if it brings us a little closer to acknowledging the humanity and dignity of trans folks, then I'm all for it. Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to something which never makes people fight in the South, college sports.
This is a contentious morning already.
Yeah, I guess so.
The fights are more good-natured, though.
Contention is totally fine because we're smart and polite about it.
Yes, we are.
Georgia school officials want schools to spend less money on sports. Well, specific kinds of money. The University System of Georgia has approved a new rule that caps how much tuition money schools can use to pay for their sports program. Not a problem at Tech and UGA, right? Because they have tons of alumni dollars coming in. But at schools like Georgia State, they might have trouble paying for their football program because they do use a sizable amount of tuition money and those fees, the student fees, to pay for sports which are not profitable. So do we support this change or not?
I'm all for it. I mean, I think about the system and how difficult it is for students to get the type of education they need because full-time faculty to student ratios are so high because it's hard to get all the resources. And students who want to go to college can't, and they need scholarships. So if there's a way to cap things that are more recreational and don't bring money into the university and then move that money, here's the key, move the money to things that improve education and access to education, that is a good thing.
Okay, anyone want to argue that sports are more than just recreational?
Well, I actually would do that. I mean, I think that, you know, I certainly learned things by playing sports when I was a young person. Now, certainly I didn't play at the college level, but that, you know, still stick with me to this day about teamwork and things like that.
So does that mean you would support spending tuition dollars to support?
Not necessarily. I think, you know, the thing is, it's not really a binary question. It's, you know, it's all about the funding formula allocation and how people of goodwill can come together on that and figure out, okay, this is the right amount of money to go here. And this is the
right. I feel like V has something to say because her arms are crossed.
Oh, no, I don't. I'm just thinking, I'm going to just say, I'm going to agree with everything Chuck says for the rest of the morning.
No. We do need some
dangerous.
Greg, what do you think?
I mean, I think that that team sports have certainly built a generation of camaraderie. And a lot of times you'll see these companies go on team building events. And I see a lot of similarities in that and a lot of parallels between,
But that's about the value of sports. That's not about whether or not they should be able to use tuition money to support sports.
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought that they should be able to because it's an important part of a program. It can build school spirit. A lot of attendance of some of these games can build rapport amongst students. Remember pep rallies, stuff like that?
Yeah, I do. So I was a cheerleader.
Okay, so not
in college.
I thought that was an important part of high school and college for me, so...
Okay, I know that our listeners have opinions about that, and you know how to reach us on Twitter at OST Talk. You can go to Facebook. Okay, so
I've already been reached on Twitter by somebody.
I bet you have.
Thank you, Robbie.
Remember Anthony Weiner? hopefully, since then, politicians have learned their lesson about sharing, oversharing on social media.
So it was revealed that Anthony Weiner sent nude pictures of himself to this woman using a Carlos Danger Yahoo email address. His wife was shocked. She was like, "You still use Yahoo?"
Okay, but Mike Webb, a candidate who's running for Congress in Virginia, is taking some heat for... He took a screenshot of his desktop, and then he posted it on Facebook, and he forgot to close the multiple pornography site tabs that he had open before he shared that screenshot. He first deleted the post, then he reposted it saying he has, quote, nothing to hide. So I wonder here if he has a point. I mean, look, we all know the percentage of people that watch porn online. If we know that most people do it, why should we be concerned if a politician does?
Well, all I got to say is, you know, if you're going to do anything on your browser that you wouldn't want people to look at over your shoulder, there's a little thing in Google Chrome that says go incognito, and it gives you a new window, and the tabs aren't there with everything else.
That makes it sound like you're less worried that he's watching porn, but that he's not smart enough to hide it.
I have the same concern.
Yeah, pretty
I don't
much.
Care that he's watching porn, honestly. I really don't care. I think if that's what he wants to do in his own time, it's fine. But why isn't he smart enough to be able to hide it? That is my concern. And I really think, you know, it applies to anything we're doing. There are a lot of things that we do that many people do outside of our workspace. And I'm not going to advertise it because I'm a smart person.
Okay. So you think he's dumb. Greg?
Yes.
Roxanne?
Yes, one of the things, I mean, if you get caught, you're dumb. But that's my thing.
Well, I know porn is a part of our culture and it's not going away. But mainstream porn is pretty degrading to women. It's violence toward women. And I don't know, a politician watching it and then being dumb enough to post it, I have major problems about that as a woman. And if I was part of his constituency, I don't know. know, I'd take a minute before, maybe an hour, maybe a day, maybe a year before ever considering voting for him.
Sounds
I
like
mean, without
ever.
A doubt, he would have lost my vote.
He might win some votes in some areas.
Yeah, so you got that
true.
Right.
All right, my guests in the break room, Roxanne Donovan of Kennesaw State, Greg Williams of the show Greg's List, B. Wynn of Athena's Warehouse, and Chuck Reese, editor of The Bitter Southerner, now in their membership campaign. I thought today was the last day, but it's extended a little bit, so you have a little more time. We want to thank Savannah Coffee Roasters. As always, they donate the coffee that fuels our break room guests this morning. They are online at savannahcoffee.com, and they're breaking the stereotype of public radio having awful tasting coffee, for which we thank them. Mm-hmm. Okay, so have you ever caught yourself having to physically stop yourself from rolling your eyes?
Jack, I want you to pay close attention to the following over-the-top eye roll. Oh, brother.
Okay, a study out of the University of Washington found small behaviors like rolling your eyes are the number one predictor of divorce. Others include being sarcastic and name-calling. And we wondered if you believe in these stats. Have you rolled your eyes at anybody recently?
I've always thought that strip clubs and Match.com were the leading causes of divorce, but eye rolling. My wife is from Ecuador, so she speaks to me in Spanish sometimes. I may do an eye roll every now and then.
Oh, because you don't understand what
yes.
she's saying.
And then I look it up later, and I'm like,
and
wow.
And you said before that she talks fast
yes.
when she's fired up.
Muy rápido.
Yeah. Anybody else about eye rolling? Wait. We have an actual psychology professor here, so.
Oh, yes. God. I've rolled my eyes in the last 5 minutes. So as a social scientist, I've got to believe the research generally, right? But as a spouse and an admitted eye roller, I'm hoping it doesn't apply to me. But I think there's a distance between eye rolling and name calling. And I might be eye rolling to keep myself from name calling. But I can see that the cluster of behaviors. Okay, I'm trying to totally justify.
You are totally justified. I actually heard
somebody I work with
said, well, I'll call him a jerk, but I'd never roll my eyes. What do you think, B?
You know, I don't actually know if I roll my eyes consciously. I really try not to, but I am very expressive. I throw my hands up in the air a lot. You can tell just verbally and physically what I mean when I say it. So I probably don't really roll my eyes a lot, but I definitely express how I feel. So there's no hiding that.
Well, all I know is that, you know, as the most divorced person in this room.
It's true.
In my first two marriages, I definitely noticed in my own behavior that when I caught myself rolling my eyes, we were already heading down a bad road. Mm. Now, the good news is I don't roll my eyes at my current wife.
Because you got it right.
I got it right this time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, there you go. Okay. Speaking of eye rolling, let's talk about families and politics. We know that you're supposed to avoid it over dinner, right? Talking about politics. But we wonder if you think the conversations could actually tear families apart. A woman in Australia recently severed ties with her mother completely when she found out that her mother is an avid Trump supporter. It wasn't just that. She found social media postings her mother had written in which her mom used, quote, hateful memes, ugly language, and appearance-based attacks targeted at Hillary Clinton. So is there a politician or political issue that could divide you from your family? What would you sever family ties over? We asked this question to our listeners, by the way, and Alan Aitanagar from Decatur said this.
While I don't know anyone who's admitted that they support Trump, if they did, I believe I might just disown them. But if any of my friends or family came out as a Bernie or bust person, then I would absolutely cut them out. That attitude comes from a place of white privilege and shows a complete lack of concern for the well-being of those people who would suffer most under a Trump presidency.
Interesting, right? Anybody here think there's a politician or issue that you would sever ties over?
I don't know. I've discovered in my life, and I used to work in politics, and I'm fairly opinionated, but
you're kidding me.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, if I can't sit across a table and be in a friendly relationship with somebody who has different political points of view than me, there's a much deeper problem.
I think you're sitting across from someone who has different political views from
you. Well, yeah,
you.
And the
from
thing
time
about
to
it
time
is
or
we
maybe
can disagree vehemently about one thing, and we can, you know, shake hands and talk about something else and get along just fine.
And I'm sure there's plenty of issues that we'd agree on. I like to look at a quote from Thomas Jefferson. I never considered a difference of opinion in politics, in religion, in philosophy as cause for withdrawing from a friend. So I think that's a very formative quote for people. And I think that we also need to get a little over this political correctness. I mean, my off-color joke at the beginning, I don't think was a cause that I hate the LGBT community. So let's get over ourselves and some of this self-righteousness
Yeah, you're raising your hand, but it's radio, so people can't see that.
Okay, Celeste, can you please call on me right now?
Go ahead.
I grew up with two very conservative Republican parents, and I love them very much. We don't talk about politics a lot. And I am actually doing something for the first time in my life. I am dating a Republican, and I never thought I would be in that space ever. You know, what I learned that is what I care about is shared values and common values and finding that place. And I care about intentions and why people believe the things that they believe. So I don't think that it's a good enough reason to sever ties. However, I do still take problem with the Mrs. Doubtfire comment. I don't think it's political correctness, and I want to say that.
Okay, before we return, I totally get everyone has strong opinions. That's why you're here, right? Because you have strong opinions. But let's move on. And Roxanne, the thing I wanted to ask you, and it seems to me like the thing that really bothered her was seeing her mother's hatred posted publicly. And that seems to have been what caused her to sever ties. She didn't want to see her mom saying these awful things about other people.
And I think it's one thing to disagree, and it's another thing to have to bear witness to someone's public discriminatory act. So I can understand her difficulty. I mean, in my mind, friends you choose, family, you know, you get. And it might be helpful, instead of severing ties, to kind of talk with her mom about the pain that she felt when she read these things.
Yeah.
And the impact that that might have on people like her, meaning her daughter, and also the people that she's tweeting about or writing about on Facebook.
We got a tweet from Sam Burnham who says, my mother was furious when I didn't vote Romney in 2012, but she got past it. And David Thompson says, I would gladly trade a few eye rolls for the current discourse in the presidential campaign. You can reach out to us at OST Talk. We are in the break room. My guests are Roxanne Donovan of Kennesaw State, Chuck Reese of The Bitter Southerner, Greg Williams of the show Greg's List, and B. Wynn of Athena's Warehouse. Okay, so this is one that I actually feel personally, but child custody battles absolutely can get very ugly when there's a divorce. But I am one of those people that would be willing to take legal action to keep my pet.
The animal court is now in session.
Is that what he thinks of your testimony?
I guess.
Pets are increasingly the subject of some pretty bitter divorce battles. Custody of that furry kid often has to be settled by a judge. So let's just ask, if it came down to it, who in your family would get the dog or cat? Would you fight for pet custody? I've already admitted I would.
Yeah, I certainly would. I have two senior dogs, though, so I don't think they'd really be part of the negotiations if between me and the wife. So.
Oh, because they're older? And
Yeah, and just hard to take care of, and the cute furry animals that so many people want these days.
Oh, B, would you fight?
Oh, so I'm a bad person to ask about this because I actually pushed one of my pets onto my mom. Mm. I was like, please take him. Please take him.
So the answer to that is no,
but
you would not.
I still have my 13-year-old, very cranky, very uncharming poodle, and I wouldn't give him up.
If my eye rolling leads to divorce, then yes, I'm fighting. I'm fighting for my pets all the way.
But she wouldn't name call. Chuck?
I'll just talk about my experience. In both my divorces, there were pets involved, and I don't know, somehow in both cases it seemed to sort of work itself out, you know, because one was closer to, you know, Ruby.
Oh, interesting. You're letting the pet decide who they like better.
Yeah, kind of. That's what we did in both cases, and it worked out.
Interesting.
All right.
I would put milk bones in my pocket.
That's what I was saying. There's a way to bribe the decision makers on that, isn't it?
All right. So let's talk about traveling. If you thought the lines at the DMV were long,
this is ridiculous.
Don't wait in the appointment line.
I don't. I don't want to work. I got a job. I'm here all day. I can't say this.
You're
going
to have to take that somewhere else.
Hard.
All right. You know what? I'm on break.
Officials at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport are warning travelers to arrive 2 to 3 hours early if they want to make their flights. That's because the South Security Checkpoint is closed for upgrades. It closed nearly 2 weeks ago. It will remain closed for some time. So at what point is the airport slower than driving?
Nashville.
That's it?
It depends if you have to use I-75. If you have to use I-75, the airport is always going to be faster.
I just feel like if I were traveling to Washington, D.C., I might just drive.
That's 12 hours.
I'm with you. That's a pretty long drive. Yeah. I just did it recently.
But think about the time it takes to get through all the deals with the TSA, the time
parking.
It takes to get on board.
Yeah, D.C. is 560 miles, so it's a good 10 to 12 hours, depending on which way you go, right?
But at least you feel more in control.
Oh, my gosh, Bee's going to tell us
a trick. Okay, but then this is not going to work because I'm telling everyone. The trick is to get dropped off at International and go through that security. It's much shorter and faster.
That is a good
trick.
Oh,
and then you just ride the train.
Don't use that trick, guys, this weekend or next weekend because I'm flying out.
You know there's a lot of people listening right now, right?
I know.
What the heck were you thinking?
I just revealed it.
Okay. Homeland Security actually this morning announced that they think the lines would be shorter if the airlines would stop charging people for baggage because then they wouldn't have to be checking everyone's luggage at the...
Because that's the reason.
The carry-on baggage has gotten huge now. I mean, you see people lugging around, things that are probably 40 or 50 pounds and TSA has to go through that. Yeah, I think that has been a huge issue. And with oil prices down so much, let's get the free bags back, airlines.
Okay, there you heard that, Delta. You're located here. Okay, Georgia's unemployment numbers are up, but that doesn't mean our wages are up. They're not, in fact. A new report from the University of California, Berkeley, found nearly half of our state's factory workers are on government assistance. The author of the study says, quote, manufacturing has long been thought of as providing high-paying middle-class work, but the reality is the production jobs are increasingly coming to resemble fast food or Walmart jobs, end quote. Now, the authors say a lot of the blame is on the use of temp workers. And I'm wondering, is this acceptable? Is this just kind of part of the way we... Because our state fights really hard to get these particular kind of jobs.
I would imagine it's also based on automation now. So it's... if I used to work up in Dalton and some of the carpet mills up there, basically they have humans that watch a computer do a lot of the work. And at some point, you don't need to have... That high of a wage for that kind of job. Eventually, when we're in a more of a service-oriented economy now, so the production side of things, we're going to be competing with the Mexicos and the Chinas and Vietnam and Indias of the world where they can produce things for much cheaper on a wage basis. So I think that it's going to continue to drive down manufacturing wages in this country.
But should I be supplementing their income as a taxpayer?
Well, that's a really... difficult question, and we all know and acknowledge that income inequality has become a huge problem.
I think Atlanta may
still
be number one for income inequality.
Yeah, and but the thing about it is I spend a lot of my career reporting on business, and I think so much of it has to do with the values of the people who run any individual business. Mm-hmm. We did a story not long ago about the Lodge cast iron factory.
Oh, that was a great piece.
Up over the state line in Tennessee. Manufacturing company that's been there for, almost a century. And, the way they're able to treat their workers right is basically because they've made the decision not to do business with Wall Street. Mm-hmm. A lot of what's driving,
it's profit
stuff
margins.
If you're a publicly held company, you become a slave to the quarterly guidance you have to give the Wall Street analysts. And it makes it very difficult for you to make long-term decisions if it's going to shave your earnings by a few pennies a share. And... It's hugely problematic, and it's something that needs to be looked at a deep level, but it's way above my head.
Well, since we're talking about profit margins, let's talk about the Falcons. The Falcons owner, Arthur Blank, announced this week there's going to be a fan-first menu. $2 hot dogs, $3 nachos, $5 beers. Those prices will be the cheapest concessions in the NFL. On Twitter, we asked, would those prices be enough to get you to a Falcons game? And Elizabeth Desnoyer, I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, just tweeted back, Nope. So what about you guys? Cheap concessions more likely to get you to the game?
No, but a winning program would. But we were talking off air, the $2 refills on soda, for me, that is a huge boon because that's going to make the flask of Jack Daniels I bring in a little bit bigger, and I won't be having to subsidize the Jack Daniels with $8 sodas.
And the Jack Daniels might make you enjoy the game more as we lose. B?
Are the tickets cheaper? Because I care about that more than the hot dogs.
I don't think so.
Okay, well.
Roxanne?
B makes a good point. If the tickets were cheaper, I mean, I have two kids, and when we go to a game, it is so expensive. Mm-hmm. We are dropping over $100.
Yeah, parking is like $25.
Between parking, the tickets, and then, of course, they get there, and they want to eat all this junk. And so, of course.
And then you roll your eyes at them.
I'm rolling my eyes while I'm digging into my wallet. So, I mean, it would be very nice if you have the privilege to shell out the money to go to these games, that you then don't have to cough up another $100 or so to feed yourself. So I actually think it's a good thing. Reducing ticket prices would be a better thing.
Chuck, we got a minute left. What do you think?
It's hard for me to afford going to a professional sports event of any kind because the ticket prices have gotten so high. You know, this is just me. I'd rather save my money for when Sturgill Simpson comes to town or a Run
well,
the Jewels show.
So he'll spend the money on a concert. We want to hear from you as well. Is a $2 hot dog enough to get you to a Falcons game? Does that make the dividing line for you? You know how to reach us. We're on Twitter at OSD Talk. We're on Facebook as well. We're out of time in the break room today. I want to say thank you to all the guests. B. Wynn is executive director of Athena's Warehouse, which is a nonprofit to empower teenage girls. Greg Williams hosts the conservative radio show Greg's List. Roxanne Donovan is associate professor of psychology and interdisciplinary studies at Kennesaw State University. And Chuck Reese, editor of The Bitter Southerner. That's our show for today. But again, would you go to a Falcons game with the dividing line, the decision maker be the price of those $3 nachos? Let us know. Call us at 404-500-9457. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Good seeing you guys.
Have a good weekend.